Hi, friend, and welcome to the Unapologetic Entrepreneur Podcast, a place for passionate entrepreneurs just like yourself who are looking to create a business that integrates into your life instead of taking over it. So let me ask you something. How would it feel to unapologetically chase your definition of success? See, I'm on a mission to do this, and I want you to come along with me in becoming an unapologetic entrepreneur. This is someone who has defined success on their terms and is committed to setting boundaries and making progress towards achieving that success. I'm your host, Amanda McKinney, and after several years of entrepreneurship, I found myself chasing someone else's definition of success, and I actually couldn't answer the question, what does success look like for you, Amanda? This started me on a journey to understanding this answer for myself, and I now understand that our definition of success, it evolves over time. But the key is to always know what our definition is in each season of our life. And on this podcast, I am dedicated to exploring how other entrepreneurs have shown up unapologetically and sharing my journey, of course, too. So pop in those earbuds so we can explore topics such as success, goals, mindset, of course, marketing, and money. You will walk away inspired through stories and ready to take action through clearly defined steps. So let's dig in. Hello, my friend. I've got another incredibly inspiring story to share with you today of how someone navigated into accidental entrepreneurship. My guest actually worked at Nike for many years before starting her own company. And in this conversation, we talk about how she made the leap and specifically what her first few steps were. So often we hear, I started my company, and you're left wondering what the heck someone did at first, but not today. We are going to talk about exactly what happened when she found out she was about to get laid off, all of the unsure feelings that came with not knowing what the heck was next for her, and then how she put one foot in front of the other to find the next best chapter for her. And I'm so excited for you to hear this conversation because not only do we talk about how she started her business, but also how she kept her health in check the entire time. We talk about how as entrepreneurs, it can get so easy to get caught up in the go, go, go mentality, but we have to take care of ourselves as well as the business. So let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. Nicola Mercer is a transformational health coach, helping to build confidence and self-worth using her framework of mindset, movement, nutrition, sleep, and stress. A certified health coach and qualified personal trainer with over 20 years of experience in one of the world's largest sports brands, she combines her corporate leadership experience with her own journey of mental and physical health challenges to support others to build sustainable habits and thrive in life. She is driven to change the narrative of what health is really about and normalize healthy habits so kids grow up valuing themselves to live with health and happiness. She has such a fantastic vision, and as you'll hear in this conversation, she truly lives out and shares her passion in major ways. I can't wait for you to learn from her, so I know you're going to enjoy this conversation, so I won't make you wait any longer. Here's Nicola. Thank you so much, Nicola, for being here today. I can't wait to talk to you about all the things. But before we jump into all the story, can you tell everyone a little bit about you and how you help your clients?
Yeah, so it's lovely to be here, Amanda. I'm Nicola Mercer, and as you can probably tell from the accent, I reside here in the UK. I'm on the northeast coast of England. I'm a transformational health coach. I founded Life Now Coaching around 2 years ago, and I set the business up because I really wanted to change the narrative around what health means. I think so many people have built this belief, especially over, I would say, the last 40 or so years, you know, that health is about being a certain size, shape, look. You know, it's very aesthetic in how we think about health. And we're at a point in time where I know that that really has to shift because of lots of the challenges we're seeing, you know, with women's health in particular, but just health overall and our kids and their lifespan. And so I feel, you know, very purpose-driven towards helping people understand what being healthy is really about and helping them to then build healthy habits to live with health without it being something that, you know, isn't a natural part of who they are and doesn't flow with them and their identity and the way they want to feel in their life.
Oh, I love that so much. And I love how you described what you're doing and being purpose-driven. And I can tell you really have this passion for helping people understand what healthy means to them and really integrating it into their life. So I am very curious. You and I talked on your podcast, and as we were talking, I was thinking, oh my gosh, how did you step into this journey of entrepreneurship? And specifically, you know, I talk about accidental entrepreneurs, and a lot of people listening to this podcast are either they're working in a full-time job or they've navigated a full-time job in some way, and they're making that shift. And so I'd really love to talk to you about how you went from the corporate side of things and decided and what that really looked like to step into entrepreneurship, if you're willing to share.
Yeah. So my story is definitely an accidental story of entrepreneurship. I didn't have ambition to be an entrepreneur. And when I look back now, I think that was maybe because I just didn't see it as a door that I could possibly ever open. And I also didn't really know what entrepreneurship was. You know, I'd heard about running your own business, but not so much the term entrepreneurship. And I think because I, you know, was in a job, I was an employee, so getting my monthly paycheck, and I became the main earner in my family, and I wasn't particularly career driven. You know, I wanted a decent life, and I wanted to know that I was, you know, going into a job that I enjoyed and that you know, had variety and had something that kept me motivated and interested. But I wasn't career driven as in, right, I'm going to move into that next position and I'm going to climb the corporate ladder. I just wanted to really keep, you know, increasing my salary and getting a little bit extra and knowing that I was in a secure place with employment. So I just didn't ever let my mind go there. And I also struggled with really low confidence, low self-esteem, and a big lack of belief. You know, imposter syndrome was a word or phrase I didn't really know until just, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. But that's, you know, something that was also holding me back. So I didn't have these big dreams and ambitions. I just wanted to do a good job, get paid and keep progressing so that I could have nice holidays and have a nice home and give my family things. So 20 years, I worked for Nike, and, you know, we were in the midst of the pandemic, lockdown, working at home, and things started to shift in the company. They announced a big global restructure, which started in the US and made its way to Europe. And by around October, November 2020, so, you know, I'd say really in the middle of COVID, it became apparent that lots of jobs were going to be lost in the UK where I'm based. And it all happened very quickly, really. By the start of 21, we were told that over half of us were basically being made redundant, that the jobs were no longer going to be there. Things were shifting. And then within a few weeks, it became clear that my job had gone and what remained in the organisation in the UK wasn't a fit for me. So I was made redundant. And in those kind of 3 months to the run-up to actually being made redundant, when we were having talks internally and information shared, I remember that our VP in the UK said, you know, she'd gone through the process ahead of us being a leader and so on. And she said, I didn't actually feel that stressed about it because I knew that I had a plan B. So my advice to you is to know your plan B, think about that plan B and go into what's happening with an open mind and, you know, confidence that you have a plan B, that there's something else for you beyond Nike should you lose your job. And there was only 5 of us in this meeting with her. And the other 3 people to me in there said to Sarah, the lady said, yeah, I've got my plan B. And I was just sitting there thinking, I don't have a plan B.
Right.
And I felt so embarrassed. Yeah. And they were saying, you know, one was an IT manager. He said, oh, yeah, I've got a plan B and I'm going to do this. And so on. I feel really confident. And I just said, Sarah, I don't have a plan B. I'm almost 45. Like, I've always been scared that one day this Nike job would go.
Right.
And I'd be left too old in the Northeast, you know, not in London where the big brands are based and Nike was shifting towards as well. What will I do? And she said, oh, you know, go away and have a think about it. And honestly, Amanda, it was so difficult because I just didn't know what I would do. I had no idea. And, you know, within probably a few weeks, once I knew I was likely to be leaving, the only thing that I knew I wanted to do was to write. I've always fancied myself as a bit of a novelist, a fiction writer, but I thought maybe I could write. Maybe this is the opportunity I've been waiting for. Maybe I'm, you know, being pushed to do something that I would never have had a choice to be able to do. So still no plan B, 1st of April out of employment. And I thought, I'm going to write a blog. And I didn't know anything about writing blogs, how to put them out there in the world, nothing at all. And I set up an Instagram account called Life After Swoosh. And I thought, I'm going to document my journey after the Swoosh, Nike's obviously, you know, brand. And I thought, you know, I'll write this blog and document finding a new job and how it goes. And then within a couple of weeks, I thought, this isn't quite how I thought it was going to feel. I don't feel stressed. I don't really want to apply for a job. I don't know what I'm going to do for income. But I feel like maybe there's something else meant for me at this point. And, you know, I'd written a couple of things. I hadn't put them out because I didn't know how to. And it kind of evolved from there. And what led me to then setting up the business was somebody at Nike had said to me when I didn't have this plan B was, think about the skill set you have. What can you do? What are you good at naturally from like a hard skills point of view? Then think about the things at Nike that you enjoy doing. And so for me, they were things like coaching, leading teams, developing people, managing projects. I was very good at process improvement and change, delivering results. And then he said, what at Nike have you really enjoyed doing that Nike is about? And I said, well, that's working with women, working with girls to help them see why it's so important to be active and to live a healthy lifestyle. And then the final question was, what do you want to do? Like, what inspires you and what's your desire for your life? Mm-hmm. And that question was something that I didn't have any clarity on, but it always been in my mind that it worried me that I didn't know that and I didn't have that. You know, I'd hear people motivated about their life and their dreams and their desires. And because of how I felt about myself and some challenges I'd had with health, just didn't have that big dream. I kind of knew I wanted to be calmer, to be happier, to have nice memories through, you know, special holidays and times with family. But I didn't really have an obvious thing that I was passionate about. And that got me thinking. And then it was, I want to do something for me. I want to feel good and I want to help people and connect with people. And so that's how really I became an accidental entrepreneur. And those things, four questions he asked, all collided together in the answers to go, you need to set up a business. And then I, after about 3 months, decided to evolve Life After Swoosh to Life Now Coaching, because I realized I was defining myself by Nike and my time there, you know, saying this is me after it. And so it came about because I wanted to focus more on the now and helping people to make the most of their life by, you know, being in control of their health now. But even when I decided to set the business up, I didn't really know what I was going to do.
Right. My gosh, there's so much goodness in that. And, you know, the first thing I want to like give some major kudos to Nike for doing the things that they did throughout that process. You know, I was also laid off from a job, from a corporate job, and I did not necessarily have the same experience that you had. It was done well. It wasn't done poorly in any way. But it sounds like it was a longer process, that you had some time to talk about it. You had some great leadership. And those four questions that were asked, oh my gosh. So I'm going to make sure those are in the show notes to really make them very clear so other people can ask themselves those questions, because I think there's a lot of people that really struggle with that idea of, what is my purpose? What is my passion? What do I really want to do? And I really love that you called that out, that you didn't know. And because I think sometimes we'll have this idea of like you just followed the breadcrumbs. You said, I kind of want to write this blog. I don't even know how to publish a blog, but I'm going to do it. And I'm going to step through this. And as you did that, you realized, okay, maybe there's something here, but you didn't know all the answers, but you just put one foot in front of the other. And that's how we find our passion. That's how we find the thing that we want to do. But I think a lot of people get very paralyzed in that, okay, I want to start a business. What do I want to do? What's my passion? And think that you have to figure it all out in that moment. Did you ever have a time where you felt pressure to like figure it out in that moment?
I think once I'd made the decision I was going to set up a business and do coaching, and then when I licensed the name, you know, and started making it formal and announced to the world that, you know, Life After Swoosh was now Life Now Coaching and I was a business owner, I did start to feel pressure because I didn't know what I was still about. And I joined a program, a business program focusing on, you know, online courses and recurring revenue. I joined another program, and then I'd started to do a lot of things on Facebook and Instagram and come across these people I'd never seen or heard about before, you know, all of these online entrepreneurs,
right.
Not necessarily just online, but, you know, running these types of businesses that you and I are running. And so then I did start to feel pressure because it looked as though everybody else had it nailed. And I was saying that I was doing it, but I didn't really know what I was doing. So there was a lot of mindset work that I had to do and still am doing. But at the beginning, a lot was around, okay, you don't have to have everything ticked off. I am a perfectionist by nature, and it served me well many times in corporate. It also went against me many times. But because of that, I did have very good awareness around it. You know, like lots of people haven't been through those kind of personality type assessments and reviews and done psychological, you know, tests and work and so on and themselves. We've done a lot of that actually at Nike through the years. So I was very aware of, you know, my strengths, my weaknesses, flaws, and things that irritated me as well as other people. So, you know, that was a learning curve as well, to be like, okay, you don't have to have everything tick, tick, ticked now, you know, because I did approach everything like I did at Nike with this big strap plan, the big mission, vision, purpose page and planner.
I did the same thing. And it's so funny. Like, we can laugh now, but the reality is it made it very difficult to get started. So if anyone is listening and you're going from a very structured, big company, corporate job, and you see how they do it, you're going to have to do things differently in your entrepreneurship journey because you don't have the resources and you don't have the years of experience that a company has. And so when you're starting out and that's the lens you have, because I had the same thing of, I need to have this, you know, perfect mission and vision and, you know, all the colors right for the website and so much stuff that really doesn't matter. These things do matter. We need to know what the mission of our business is overall, but the words on the website, like making it this big thing, like I feel like we get in our heads a lot about it, the perfectionist in ourselves of it can stop us from taking action. But I love that you just started taking one step at a time. So I know this is what people start to ask when they hear someone on a podcast and they're like, okay, I went from this to this, and they really want to know the granular part of, so you filed for your business license. So you got that taken care of. What did you do next to really start your business and actually make revenue? And I heard you say you joined a few programs, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. So like you're learning from other people, trying to figure out what you don't know. And then what else did you do?
Yeah, so one of the first program I joined from a business perspective was before I even knew that I was going to have the business. And that was something that really gave me that penny drop moment of, actually, maybe these things I'm thinking about could combine together and be a real business, because I had been thinking, maybe I could just do a bit of coaching, a bit of personal training, because I decided I wanted to qualify as a PT. you know, I had the opportunity, the time, the money to invest to do it for the first time. And I loved exercise. It's a huge part of how I changed my life and, you know, really started to get back in control. So I think then from a practical point of view, once I'd started to hear and see all of these things through that program, the content and the people who were in it as well, I went all in, feed first, registered the company, sat the names there at Stone. And then the website was the big thing because I said I wanted to write blogs and I'd wrote a couple of things. And my brother had done journalism at university. So he'd said, oh, there are these things called Squarespace and WordPress and Wix and you can do a blog on there. And that just blew my mind. So he came over. When we were out of lockdown, I remember he came over in the summer and he showed me how to do them on Squarespace. So I'd set up a website called Life After Swoosh, thinking I can't really use the swoosh, I'll probably get sued. So right. When it evolved to life, and I was like, oh, maybe actually this could just be where I put those blogs and I just share a bit about my story. So I started to build the website in the background. I didn't put it out initially because then as I formed this business model idea, I realized actually I was going to do the business, so the website needed to be based on that. So I think the biggest then next thing to get started and actually feel like you're doing it was the social media marketing piece, was to create the account, to start telling people what I was doing. Then the next step that I did was to create a lead magnet, which I learned how to do through the program I was on, and the tech side of that, which was another huge, like, mind-blowing thing, but also something I didn't know existed at all. Had no idea about these CRM systems and sales. You know, I worked in sales in Nike for 8 years. I had no idea what a sales
funnel
was. And so, you know, that was then, I need to put this out. I need to share to the world. I've got this lead magnet and I'm putting a Facebook group in to then funnel people into. And so it was small steps, but ones that felt huge because it was like, oh my God, am I really telling people that I'm doing this? And when I tell them I'm doing this, I am actually then doing it and I'm committed to it. And again, I think with that corporate, you know, experience and years of service behind you, you see things as much bigger than what they are. Do you know what I mean? Like it feels more real than what it really, like in reality, nobody really sees what you're doing for quite some time. You know, the first time you go live, it was like I was reading the BBC 10 o'clock news. I was so nervous. Nobody watched it.
No.
You know, but I think I had that mindset of at Nike, you're a global brand and it's so polished and everything has to be perfect. You know, we'd spin on the words of an account's mission in their strat plan for like 2 hours, just, you know, bouncing one word backwards and forwards across the team. And then suddenly you're doing that on your own and you feel like it has the same value. And then you have to put some perspective into it and go, actually, no, I'm not running a multi-billion dollar brand with, you know, 100,000 employees across the world. It's just me and it doesn't really matter that much. But that is a process. It's a big process.
Yeah. Thanks for walking through that step by step and saying, okay, it's the website. And then I got on social media and really calling attention to it's amazing how quickly we start to wonder, what are other people going to think when I say I'm doing this thing? I remember the very first time that I told my friends and family, because like you said, you created a lead magnet to grow your email list. But at the beginning, you don't have anyone on your email list. It's like you create it and you're the only one on it because you add yourself or whatever. And so I remember thinking, okay, I need to personally email my friends and family, like a Gmail email that's going to go out to my friends and family that says, I started my business and I was going to link my website and all of this. And I had worked on my website for way too long. Just, we're going to call the attention to that, way too long. It should not have taken so long. And I was like, okay, it's ready. I'm sweating and I'm going to hit the, you know, hit the go button on this email to go out. And I hit it. And silly enough, I was like, I'm going to send this email and then I'm going to go run some errands because that's what I needed to do that day. And so I leave the house and I go. And by the time I get to wherever I'm going, I happen to look at my phone and I'm getting text messages from friends and family. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, they're so excited for me. Nicola, these text messages were saying, the links are broken on your website. There's typos on your website. And all of my friends and my family are just trying to help me. I'm near tears in the car thinking, oh my gosh, this is mortifying. This is so terrible. But the good news with this is they were just trying to be helpful. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter that there were typos on the website. It didn't matter that the links were broken. And it was such a lesson to me because I had built this up, built this moment up in my mind that it was going to be this big deal. And it really wasn't. And that's what you're saying is like, I think we build these things up in our minds at the early part of our business where like, I'm just glad I sent that email and got it done. And since then there's like been, I don't know, 725 versions of my website at this point. It's like you change it all the time and it's fine, but we just have to get started. So I'm glad that you just were like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take this one step at a time and get in front of this. And I'm not going to worry. And maybe you did. I don't know. You're not going to worry about what other people are going to say or think about what you were doing. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, and you're welcome.
Hey there. I promise to get you back into the episode soon, but someone that I trust inside my business has a special offer for you, and I can't let you miss it. See, I waited way too long to hire support in my business because I was nervous about investing financially and trusting someone. But now I have someone I will vouch for 100%, and I'd love for her to support you too. My right-hand lady, Jess, took over managing my calendar, landing me on more than 40 podcast and guest speaking opportunities when I was promoting my book. And she helped me navigate countless decisions over the past year. But the very first step was a single clarity call that helped me take quick action. And her clarity calls are typically $137, but she's offering them to my audience for free. She wants to help you get unstuck. Instead of Googling to find answers, book a call with Jess and let her relieve your biggest business headache. To get the special deal, all you have to do is go to jugglinglogistics.com/Amanda and book your call. I trust Jess with my business, and I know she will help you too. So go to jugglinglogistics.com/Amanda to book your free clarity call today. You're going to love her. Okay, let's jump back into the episode.
The judgment from others was one of the biggest barriers and something that I have worked through. And it was something that I'd started to work through just as I was being made redundant, because I knew that I couldn't keep living the way that I had been living. I was surviving, really. I was like living by default rather than defining how I wanted my life to be. Mm-hmm. And so I had already started to work on that, and I knew it was something that even if I was going to apply for jobs, would stand in my way because of my lack of confidence and self-belief. So, you know, that's something I know so many people struggle with, full stop. But then when they are entrepreneurs and putting themselves out there as well as literally the face of the brand and the business, it's really daunting, isn't it? And so it's something you do have to work through. But I will say it's something that does get so much easier, much faster than what I ever expected. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I have changed the most about how I work and operate, and that I've enjoyed the fact I've changed that, is that I do take decisions much faster and I do just get on with things. You know, yes, there are still things that I deliberate over and I worry and wonder about, but I don't approach everything with the same attitude that I did at corporate. And I think I'm able to do that because of the way we worked at Nike and how I was, and knowing that I'm a perfectionist, having that self-awareness means that as soon as I'm launching a new program and I was doing the sales page, for example, and, you know, going through it with a fine tooth comb, but then I spot straight away that I'm doing that. And I'm like, actually, it doesn't matter if that font's 2 or 2.2. Really? Mm. Let's just leave it. You know, little things like that.
Yes.
When you know that's how you are and you can pick up on it very quickly, I'm now able to just move past it rather than before I would have been stuck in that place for some time and maybe worried, not necessarily with the font example, but other things.
Right.
I would have you know, regurgitated over and over with worry to maybe the point of anxiety, whereas now it's you know, you haven't got time. It's like, let's put perspective on that. Mm-hmm. Let's park it. That's done. Move to the next thing.
I love that check of, does this really matter? Like having that pause and recognizing, look, I'm doing this for the 15th time. I'm reading this page. And everyone listening is like, yeah, I've done that. Like, because I think about how many people I've worked with that are like, I wrote this Instagram post, Amanda, but I'm nervous to post it or whatever. And I'm like, how many times have you read it? And they'll say like 10, you know, and I'm thinking, that's 9 too many or 8 too many, right? Like, let's move forward with this, because it ends up wasting time is what really ends up happening. And I think the more, I really appreciate what you said of like, it, you can actually move through it quicker than you even think. And I'm the same. In corporate, I would deliberate over things so much, and I would just, and we had the time, we had the space, we had the team, you know, we had other people's eyes. I think I valued that so much more than I even thought or recognized, I would say, because now it's my eyes and that's it. And my eyes aren't that great sometimes. So I'm not the best speller, you know, so there's typos all the time. And now I don't worry about that. If someone is upset about me making a typo, I don't think that person is a good fit for working with me, because I mean, that is just, we need to give each other grace. And I'm sorry I spell things wrong is kind of like where I am with it now. But at the beginning, it was almost paralyzing. Yeah. But I moved through that. Like you said, it's amazing how much quicker that you move through it than you think. So anyone who's stuck in it right now, like it, the more you can just move forward and take action, the quicker you'll get through it. Because the reality is we are often the only one pushing things out. Maybe you have some support in your business at some point, but early on, it's just you. And so if you don't do it, it doesn't get done and it wastes time. And so we have to learn to move forward and make quicker decisions along the way and ask ourselves like that pause that you're like, does this really matter? The font is fine. Let's move forward. Let's go for it.
As you were saying that, I was thinking there's kind of two sides to it when you're running your own business. I think one is you carry the can for everything. You are responsible for it. And that can, for some people, be really paralyzing. You know, it puts a lot of pressure onto you. But then on the other side, you've got the empowerment of the fact that you are the boss. And I think when you're employed, and especially in a lot of corporate environments, you know, there's a lot of policies and processes and must-dos, and
yes,
as I've reflected on, lots of conditioning and lots of brainwashing, but you know, you're conditioned to be part of that culture, which often is a positive thing but definitely has the flip side to it as well. And so I think when you're doing it for yourself, if you allow it, it's very empowering, because you are the boss and you can make that decision. And yes, it can be scary because you think, have I picked the right colors? Have I picked the right name? Have I set the right price? You know, whatever it is. But then at the same time, I feel for me, that's been something I've relished, which I hadn't expected and really appreciated in the past. I think now I can look back and say, actually, yeah, there were lots of things I worked on at Nike where I was a key decision maker, where I did have impact. And there were a couple of things towards the end of my career specifically, which I did do that as I started to build confidence and kind of enjoyed, but I hadn't realized what was really happening at the time, where now I can see that and think, yeah, that's maybe what I was meant to be like. And that I didn't enjoy it as much when I was more, I don't know, having to follow a script, if you like, than being the one who gets to choose.
I really appreciate that you said that. And, you know, at this time that we're recording this, I don't know when it's going to go live, but at this point, I'm still in the process of publishing my book. And you asked me, you're so sweet, before we hit record, like, how are things going with the book? And the reason I'm saying this is because I have gotten very used to being an entrepreneur and deciding on timelines. I know exactly when I'm going to release a podcast episode or share something on Instagram or send that email or launch a new program. I'm in control of all of that timing. publishing this book is completely out of my control. And oh my gosh, I hate it. Like it was such a moment of realizing, wow, I've gotten so used to the fact that I do make all these decisions. And so to your point, I have at some point along the way of going from corporate where I did not control anything. I controlled the team I worked with or whatever, like in certain circumstances, but I was told what the budget was. I was told, you know, X, Y, Z, and I work within these constraints. And somewhere along the line of the last 6 years, I have become very okay with making all the decisions and having that empowerment of choosing the timeline for things. And so it being taken away all of a sudden was an eye-opening experience for sure.
Yeah, I'm smiling because that it's hilarious actually what you just said there, because today I've just written my weekly newsletter and I themed it around being in control, and then I've just put out a reel and a post, separate ones on Instagram and LinkedIn, talking exactly about this, because I do like to be in control. And so I think that was why I wasn't fit for the world that I was in for all of the 23 years I worked in corporate environments, because I do like to be the leader, I like to be in control, but I've also got that awareness. And so I can, you know, I can balance that when there are times that I need to. And that was the topic I was chatting about in my newsletter today. So yeah, I think the great thing about having your own business, yes, it's difficult and there's lots of overwhelm. But I think the best thing for me is that you get to choose, you know, like you can run it to your style, you know, like you can adapt the way you work to your personality, the traits that you have, the skills that are naturally yours and your strengths. Whereas I think for a lot of people, when you're employed in whatever environment, it doesn't have to be corporate, you're almost that puppet on a string, you know, you're kind of performing to the environment, to the show that's going on there. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, that's what I struggled with for many years, was as much as I enjoyed Nike and I enjoyed the team and the job most of the time, I didn't ever feel like I was comfortable there. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's, I think for a lot of people, what's hard about being employed is they've just landed in that job, you know, from whatever life decision they've taken, and it just doesn't really fit with who they are as a person. And I know from what I do now, that really can impact your happiness and your health because of how you feel not being your true self.
Right. I love what you're talking about here. And I think that it brings in this conversation that I've talked about with a lot of different people, because I talk about entrepreneurship, obviously. And some of us are wired for that. You know, we want the control. You and I both did not know this is where we would land. But as soon as we landed in it, we were like, this is where I should have been the whole time. Oh my gosh. Like, it was very clear for both you and I early on, this is what I want to do. And I always like to call attention to the fact that someone might start a business, someone listening right now. And chances are, if you're listening to this podcast and you're still listening after however long we're talking, like, chances are you want to have control of your schedule and who you work with. And you'll probably be really good in that entrepreneurship role. But there are times when people jump into entrepreneurship, stumble into entrepreneurship, and realize, actually, this is not for me. Or this is not for me in this season. And so it's actually better for me right now, for whatever reason, to work for someone else and be told what to do, when to show up and when to leave, because I can clock in, clock out, and take care of what I need to take care of. And maybe it's a different season that you start the business. And I always like to, like, I'm trying to remember to say these things because I never want anyone to feel like it's a good or bad thing. It's just some of us are wired for it and some of us have the availability of the season of life to actually do it, because it does take a lot of risk to go into entrepreneurship. It's not like you're all of a sudden, you didn't replace your corporate income from Nike right away. That's not a realistic experience. If it was, please tell me what you did.
No. Yeah, I haven't replaced that yet. And that, I think that's something I would call out is, to your point, you have to be at the right place in your life to do that. You know, in some ways I look back and think, oh, I wish I'd been able to do this sooner. But I wasn't mentally in a place where this would have worked for me then. You know, my daughter's 15. I'm a single parent. I couldn't have done this when she was any younger. You know, she's very self-sufficient. I look at women who are doing it, working a full-time job and have two or three young kids as well, and they struggle. Right. And then they do often get to that point of realizing, I just can't do this right now, or I can't achieve it in the way I thought I could when I set out. But I think it's just the awareness is the main thing to have, isn't it, about how you want to be and what you would like to do with your own business, if that's your dream or not, you know, to at least explore it and have that opportunity before it's too late and then you have regrets in, in later life.
Yeah, I think once that spark is lit, and it's like, I think I want to try this thing. And again, if you're listening to this podcast, the spark is there, my friend. Like you're in it. The spark is there. Go ahead and try it and then see what works for you. And I would really encourage everyone to go back to the show notes to ask themselves those four questions that that amazing leader asked you, because that is so beautifully said. And I'll make sure to get those in there and really understanding what you want in your business, how you want to create it, what kind of culture do you want? Because you never know how much it's going to grow. And you can then, if your business grows, you can then hire people to work in a place that does have a great culture, that does have the different elements that people might want to do. You know, there's a lot of people that don't want to be the entrepreneur. They want to be the person that's supporting the entrepreneur. And what a beautiful thing it is to create those jobs. So there's one other thing I wanted to talk to you about, and you focus so much on health, and I love that so much. So tell me how you have maintained your overall health and created boundaries in your life, specifically with entrepreneurship, because I don't know about you, but as soon as I became an entrepreneur and put that hat on, it was like something, it was all encompassing. I was like always thinking about my business. I still am. It's hard for me to turn it off, those types of things. So how have you maintained your health stepping into this new role?
Yeah, I love this question because I'm not perfect. You know, nobody is. And I talk about health not being perfect either, in that it's not about having to do it all to get any benefit and to feel healthier. So, you know, I think people struggle because they have that approach to it, you know, that it's an all or nothing approach. And I know not everyone is going to see the video, but you have the book Atomic Habits behind you. I hadn't read Atomic Habits until last year.
It's so good.
It's amazing. And the thing that has helped me is that my habits were my identity. So I'd done work on myself starting probably about 7-8 years ago, because of where I was at with my overall health, to try to feel better. And I made changes to how I exercised, how I ate, how I tried to think about myself with stress. And I was far from the place where I am now. But the things that I did and put in place became part of my identity. And this is what James Clear talks about in Atomic Habits, is your identity is an output of your habits. Mm-hmm. So when you are trying to create a new habit, it's about thinking about the identity you want to be, because then that habit becomes easy when you can see who you want to be, rather than saying, I have to go to the gym 4 times a week.
Right.
So when I set up the business, I had habits that were just a part of who I am. Mm-hmm. And so it's been very easy for me to keep that solid foundation exactly where it was when I worked in corporate, because I was somebody who liked and needed to exercise to feel the way that I wanted to feel. Mm-hmm. I was somebody who'd built lots of different habits to eat as nutritiously as I can. And I'm far from perfect. I love chocolate. I love cake. I love wine, you know, but I have a lot of very good nutritious food, and I have lots of habits like meal prepping and batch cooking and freezing and, you know, shopping and things like that. So I think I had a good foundation there. And so, you know, I try to help entrepreneurs. That's who I like to work with, you know, women who are running their own business or are in busy corporate jobs who know that they should be taking better care of themselves to achieve what they want. But it's such a struggle because for so many of us, we don't have those habits embedded. And so when we've set up a business or we've, you know, progressed our career, which does take a lot of our time and a lot of our brain and energy, then we just end up overwhelmed and hit burnout. You know, some people do break down and struggle a lot mentally. So it can be hard when you're starting almost from like a ground zero point of view. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think it did really help that I had those habits embedded into just who I, Nicola, am. You know, that's me. Mm-hmm. I have had to build new habits on because, like you mentioned, your business is in your mind constantly. I've had a very busy couple of weeks. I have been thinking about things through the night, dreaming about things.
Right.
You know, so I've had to learn and think about what habits to prioritize next to help reduce some of that stress, the worry. So there's lots of things that I do. You know, move my body for me is a huge part of my overall health, mentally and physically. What I eat, the people I connect with, mm-hmm. and the connections I have built through becoming an entrepreneur have been really valuable in helping me to build my wellness from that, you know, community relationship connectivity perspective. Because although I had great teammates at Nike, and to your earlier point, I definitely miss having other eyes and other ears, mm-hmm. you know, to sound out ideas and chat about things, and I do miss the camaraderie we had as a team at the office. I've built a very strong collective of people and connections that are very essential so that you don't get stuck in that place of self-doubt and, you know, judgment of yourself and what others might be having on you. So yeah, I think the ultimate message there is to think about what you really need to be the person you want to be. So if you are running a business and you're feeling overwhelmed and stressed, and you think, I want to be someone who's more in control, who's feeling that empowerment we're sharing, what would it need to help you be that person? And then you start to build those habits, but do it in a way that forms your identity. So they're not things that you do for a month and then you forget about for 2 months. And I know you and I talked about this on my podcast, you know, and you start really small to build that daily habit of movement. And then it just becomes who you are, doesn't it?
It really does. And it's so interesting. I was looking at the calendar and it's almost been 3 years since I started that. So this July will be the third year. It'll mark 3 full years that I've done that, at least 10 minutes of moving my body every single day. And it's so interesting because if I don't do it, I feel weird. Like my body feels weird because I do it the first thing in the morning. And so if I don't start my day with that, it is like, it throws it off. It's so funny how we create these habits. Like I'm not one to tell anyone what to do with this particular thing, but I make my bed every day. Like I can't have the day go on without the bed being made. And so that is part of me of like, my bed will be made. I move my body 10 minutes a day. I take my vitamins, you know, I like, and you know, drink coffee, brush my teeth. Like these are things I do every single day that if I didn't do them, they would feel weird. And all of those, like you're talking about, those habits become part of who we are. And part of who we are as an entrepreneur is like, it's all intertwined. And it allows us to have those healthy habits and and not so healthy habits too. You know, I was reading something just this morning about how the time of day can trigger us to like want a snack or something. Like we can get in a habit of like, oh, I'm going to go eat some chips at 3 p.m. every day. Like you could end up with that habit too.
Our brain is a powerful beast, isn't it?
Yes, but we can use it to our advantage by creating those habits, to your point, and really understanding how to support our own mental and physical health as an entrepreneur. Because I do think it's great if you have that foundation, but if someone's listening right now and is like, oh, I don't really have that foundation, like you can start now. Neither one of us had this from birth. We started it at some point. And so starting small is the way to go, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, the big thing is that without you, you don't have your business. You know, even if you get to a point where you've got a big team, it's still not going to work without you at the helm. And so you have to be healthy and strong to be able to run your business. That's the first thing. But then the second thing is you have to be healthy and strong to achieve the results and then enjoy the results that you want. Because I do see, you know, the other side of things where, you know, people are achieving things in the business, they're hitting their goals, whether they're revenue related or not, but they just think, well, this isn't feeling right. I didn't expect to be running a business and not feel happy. Why am I not enjoying it? It's because they're just working their absolute like asses off, you know?
Right.
And they're just stressed to bits and they don't like it because they set the business up to have freedom, to have flexibility, to have, you know, as we say, empowerment and choice and control, and all it's turned into is just a complete, you know, mismatch of tasks, to-do lists and worry and stress. And so it's really important that, you know, you start with you on your strategy. I'm a big advocate for that. You know, you, and this is one of the things I'm trying to really, you know, switch up is, don't start with the numbers. Don't start with, you know, the marketing. Start with you, because without you, those numbers, even if you hit them, don't mean anything really if you can't enjoy them.
Gosh, yes, yes, yes to all of those things. And really what you just said is why I ended up writing the book that I ended up writing. You know, everyone thought when I said I'm writing a book, it was going to be about marketing, including myself, because that's what I had taught for so long. But in the end, when I really thought about it, who gives a rip if the marketing is great, if you hate your life?
Yeah.
Like I saw it too often. Like you, I'm coaching these people that are like hitting their goals, and I'm working with these people. They say, I want to do this thing. So I'm helping them do it. And they get to the thing and they're so miserable. And I thought, gosh, I don't want anyone to experience that anymore. And so it really comes down to understanding, like, what do you want to feel in your business? Like how I started asking the question, like, how does success feel to you instead of what does it mean to you? Mm-hmm. Because tapping into that feeling has been so helpful for me and for everyone else, I'm sure, who you've worked with too, because you get to the end, especially if you're this high achieving person who's just going to go, 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 go. And you're like, I'm not even enjoying this. Like, I remember thinking, I love that I can take any day off that I want. And I was like, except I don't take days off. I was like, I remember getting to that point and thinking, oh my gosh, this is so silly. I'm better about it now, but it took me recognizing it.
Mm. And think about the pop stars over the years. It's just popped into my head there. How many of these incredibly successful, famous pop stars, you know, in bands have walked away from the band?
Right.
You know, Spice Girls was my era, and then Take That, you know, Robbie Williams left Take That because he was like, I just don't enjoy it.
Right.
You know, and then obviously a lot of them do come back, but they come back on their terms. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, most of them probably talk about the fact that they were ill, that they were struggling to cope. They had high anxiety. Yes. Some of them had been, you know, into retreats or recovery for, you know, substance abuse or alcohol abuse. And they just said they got to such an unhealthy place that they feared for their own sanity or life because they were just such high achievers with such high expectations. And then it spiraled because all they were doing was working and not taking care of themselves. So, you know, I think on the back of the pandemic, lots of people reflected on their health and mm-hmm. their happiness, and lots of people promised themselves shifts in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're seeing now is a return to the normal.
Yeah.
You know, for a year it was kind of still okay. We're riding on the pandemic uh-huh. positives. But what I'm hearing a lot, especially on the corporate side, is how people feel like they're just back to where they were at the beginning of 2020 yep. and that their health is just falling off a cliff. You know, those walks that we did daily when we were allowed right. out once a day, that felt great. And you thought, I'm doing this for the rest of my life. I've just
yes.
gone to mush because, you know, all of the tasks pile up and you don't have time. Yeah. And so we've got to remember that we've made some of those promises to ourselves, or how it felt. Mm. And what we thought we would build in the new future and normal for ourselves, and that we've got to, you know, make that a priority, because our health, as we saw through the pandemic, is very fragile and very important.
Right. It's time to break out that sourdough bread again. You know, I feel like everyone ended up making sourdough bread and taking walks.
Yeah, I'm still to try the sourdough, but I did make banana bread and we did bake lots of other things. So it was good. Yeah.
Yeah, we're very fortunate that we live in the suburbs and we were able to take walks a lot. Mm. And so we did that, my husband and I. And, you know, we were talking about it the other day, and because he started going back to the office a little bit more and things were thrown off, and we were taking walks every single day, and we had kind of slipped from it. We would do it periodically, and we're back on track. I'm happy to say we're back on track, and it's been really nice. So it, again, like to mirror what you said, like we have to remember those promises that we were like, we're going to keep doing this, or whatever it was, because a lot of people did have a real wake up call of like, this is what I really like. And I didn't even know it. And so let's remember those things for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
I love it. Well, I know that everyone's going to want to learn more from you and find you on the internet. So where can people learn more about you and work with you if they would like to?
So you can check me out on Instagram as Life Now Coaching. And I do like to share a lot of behind the scenes and real life in my stories. And I'm on LinkedIn as well. So they're the main two platforms that you can find me at. And the website is lifenow.uk. And I also have my podcast, which Amanda was on recently, called Live Healthy Now, which is all about trying to help people see what small habits might make a big difference for them and how to get started. It's that you do feel healthier now, and you know, you stop putting off and stop saying I should do this and actually do it.
I love it. I will make sure to have all of the links in the show notes, and I highly recommend everyone listening to your podcast. Oh. It is so good, and definitely following you on LinkedIn and Instagram. I love following you there. You have so many great guests on the podcast and so many great insights, just like you were talking about. I can't wait to go to Instagram and look for that reel about what were we talking about? And you were like, the control part. Like, I can't wait to go do that.
Yeah, being the driver of your own life. Yeah. Oh, thanks.
Yes, I'll make sure to link that in the show notes too. So thank you, Nicola, for being here today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks, Amanda.
Wasn't she just a breath of fresh air? I really enjoyed how much she shared about her story, as well as the feelings that came along the way. And one of the key things that I took away from this conversation was when she started talking about realizing that she was a perfectionist back in her corporate days, and how she catches herself in it now as an entrepreneur. Whether it's reading her website too many times before she goes live or something else, she knows that that can cause her to not make progress. And so she catches it and works with it instead of fighting it. And that was such a great moment that I really wanted to make sure you caught that too. But your next step after listening to Nicola is to take your next step. I know that sounds silly, but I want you to identify what in the world is next for you. If you're thinking about starting your business, I want you to answer those four questions and dig deep. And maybe you've already started your business, but you're feeling a little scattered and unsure. Go back to those four questions and really see if you're living your passion and following what is on your heart. And once you know your direction, following your true passion, it's time time to identify what your next step is. And don't think about the big next step. Think about one tiny step you can take today. Not tomorrow, but today. What can you do right now to get you one step closer? Because so often it feels like we're trying to take on so much when we're really trying to, you know, look at that entire staircase, right? Of like, oh, I have so far to go. But instead, I want you to look at just one stair. Take it one step at a time because it's really easy to get overwhelmed. We talked about that in this conversation of there's a lot we can feel like we have to be doing, but what we really need to do is focus in and get really clear on what our next step is and then take that next step. So that's what I want you to do. And until next time, give yourself permission to get started and grace along the way. I'll talk to you soon.